Well, tell me a little bit about yourself.
My name is Red Star, and my dad is Dene. He's from around the areas that we've been trying to fight for the lands for 25 years. And I'm also from a tribe, my mom's side, Paiute, Ute. So I'm half this tribe, but I have relatives on my dad's side there and around the reservation. And also, I'm also a Native American musician, and I've been praying with my flute. And I was in Canada on February 1st, and on a Native American, the radio station for Native Americans, I did tell them about the situation with my family, my dad's people, my people there at Big Mountain on February 1st.
And what happened? You said they've left. They've actually been relocated.
Well, 10,000 supposedly have already been relocated from all these 10 lands that are in question, and there's 10 areas on the HPL, the Hopi Partition Land, mm-hmm. and they have made a deadline, which was February 1st. But right now, there's a lot of things that are happening there, such as they can't make a living out for the way that they used to live out there. Mm-hmm. So it's really a financial hardship for them to all of them to live the way they used to. And a lot of them, the 10,000 supposedly have been already moved off, and a lot of them they just don't know how to live away from where they have put these housing places for them to live. So it's kind of it's real hard. There's a lot of 5% of the people, 10,000 that have been relocated already, they just can't survive because, you know, a lot don't read or write, and they don't have the work skills. Yes, and 5% have passed on, and you know, it's hard mm-hmm. too, because I myself have become like an urban Indian, and it's difficult to be an urban Indian. Yeah. I wanted to go back to, you know, my dad's land, but I really couldn't. And it's just sad. Even though my father's passed on, I just have to think about, you know, my dad and these things that are happening to my aunts and my relatives. And it's sad even more because in 1950, my dad, he was thrown in jail. Him, my uncles and my relatives, they threw him in jail. And, like, moving off the reservation to come to the city, you know, he had to do that to work. He worked on a railroad, and he met my mom. And my mom and my grandmother were selling their beads and pottery along the railroad, and he met my mom. And didn't wait, they got married. And so that's how I'm two different tribes. And he always talked to us in Dene, and he, you know, taught me these prayer songs. And it's just really sad for me to go there and, you know, be part of all this sadness of my dad's people. Yeah. And I'm half Dene, and I have relatives, like I say, out there, and I try to help them to survive off the city, out in the city. I try to help them like that too, myself. On my dad's side, I try to help them. And I stay strong with my prayers, and I try to talk as much to let, you know, the world, to let the media know about these things that are happening, because, you know, the government, they don't want a lot of people to know about these things that are happening. So it's like a big corruption thing like that. They don't want anybody to know. And so I do my part to let the world know, and I do it with a prayer song, the songs that my dad had. But I pray with a flute to Creator mm-hmm. and God, and I pray about all these things to happen so that, you know, our mother, so that she won't have to go through all of this, what she's going through, mm-hmm. and the water and the land and the people, everything there, because everything is, you know, sacred, and is, we pray for everything out there. And that's the way I was brought up too, to pray all the time. And even though I miss my dad and my relatives and, you know, his home, our home, it's really sad, the whole thing.
Yeah, it sure is. It's been going on a long time. Sad what's happening to the people, sad what's happening to the earth. Yeah, well, I'm really glad that we're getting to talk to you, and I'm sorry it brings all this sadness up, but it's so understandable. Do you feel okay to play the flute now? You need some time. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm going to be praying to Creator for a prayer for the world, for Creator to bless the world, bless America, to bless our mother, our people, everyone in a good way, for good health, for good peace, for happiness. Happiness. This is a Dene prayer song.
Thank you very much. Red Star.
Red Star Woman.
Red Star Woman. Are you going to have any way that the people can get hold of your music? Do you know? Do you have any recordings or any plans of making any?
I've had offers to a CD and a cassette. I've just been too busy with this... with the big mountain, especially this month, February. But yes, I do have a contact number, and may I please leave the number with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You can say the number on the tape here if you. Oh, okay. We'll do it a little later. All right. Who else do we have here? here we have Vina Horsherder. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't remember your name.
Rena.
Does Rena speak? Do you speak English?
No.
No. Okay. So, what would you like to say into my recorder here for the world to hear about? And you also live in a big mountain in Arizona?
Yeah.
Adon hichon da shine la de milna khata.
Um, She said her name is Rena, and she lives at Big Mountain, and she's here many miles away here in San Francisco because of the concern about back at home. She wants to stay on her land, and she cares for her sheep, and she wants, that's her very own. So how could a person take away stuff like that, and how could a person rule you under the government law and all the regulation they have? And they have money, and they have guns, and they have all the rules. How come? I'm only a person. I don't have no gun to fight or nothing, but I say in a peace way that they should leave us alone and keep our things, keep our sheep, keep our own property, just like anybody else who could go to a private place and just try to fight or they're criminal. That's what I consider them. I want to keep my private place. I want to keep my stuff. I'm my very own, and my very own animal, because they never helped me. That's mine. I want to keep what I have, and I want to stay peace and to stay on the land. They should leave me alone. That's why I'm here, for hope, and just thinking that I should keep everything and stay peace, because it's so painful of what's going on. Every day, even many, many generations back, my people, my ancestors, they've been forced to Fort Sumter. They killed them. Today, it's still the same. And I always get harassed. They're threatened, harsh word from the government. This is not right. So I want to keep what I have. I want to stay peace. As I am.
Would you ask her? I'm sure you, or you probably know the answer to this. For what did she get arrested for?
Well, see, if you don't listen to what they say, if you get letters saying you reduce your sheep, and if you don't do it, they sent you letters saying that you will be appearing in court in Tucson or San Francisco, or somewhere, and then. If you don't go there, you get more papers, and they just take you, and they take you to Hopi Tribal jail, and from there, you go to jail, and all the support people sometimes bail you out. They help you, and it's like this, and they think that you're a very criminal person, and you believe that you're doing it for your own right and trying to defend your animal, your lamb, or whatever, but they think wrong. They think you're a crim, that you don't listen to or disobeying the law. So it's very, very, very hard to understand the two. Like, you want to stay peace and trying to stand for your right, but they think you're a bad person, you're lawless, and they call you names, and they never like you. Sometimes we get refused from the welfare, like food stamp or any assistance, and they say that we don't obey laws, so they deny us. So it's just hard. That's why we just do all we can.
I'm sure there's a lot of general racism besides these specific, very specific things that are happening to people. It must be a constant struggle with racism. And I also want to say I just wanted to say too that racism is, is even too weak a word for actually the first people, indigenous people who lived here before the people who are being so racist against you even arrived here. So anyway, that's just what I've got to say. But you've been talking. What's happening, Vina?
Well, I just remember that this is not racism. She said all the water was shut off, the windmills are removed, and she had to just holler water like 28 miles a day for her animals, and they're not allowed in, no electricity, no repairing, and nothing. Even their house get tore down, there's water hole in it. When it rains or snow, it leaks, and they have lost a lot of their precious stuff like clothing, bedding, and whatever. And they're not allowed to repair, not at all. So this is so hard, and it's like weird thing. And their houses are really, really getting old. Some of them are over 78 year old, or 89 to 90 year old hogan. They're just about to fall apart. So they don't think of safety, I don't think so. So let it be, that's what they are. You know, the more they just don't allow nothing. So it's so crazy to understand.
Well, like somebody said, genocide. It's just really seems like trying to just do everything they can to make it so hard for people. They'll die or leave, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. And they is the government here. That's what we're talking about, the U.S. government, mm-hmm. right?
Another thing is that one person that relocate to the new land, I just know her Navajo name. She's like 78 years old, and she's really, really skinny. She was okay. She was like a normal weight person. Right now, she's probably only weight about 58 pounds, and she don't want to eat. She don't want to listen to nobody. She just have her forehead laying down with her knee on the floor. She said she's just waiting to die because nobody cares for her. It's really, really sad. I was just crying. I can't say my words. My throat were all stuck and everything. I just pray for her that she will make it. I just wish some of you guys could go check out there and see them. This is the real happening out there in the new land and where Big Mountain, you know. Mm-hmm.
We're going to give a phone number in a little while so you can know how to reach people if you do want to go there.
This is Rena Lane again. She mentioned that she used to have four horses that she saddles up and use it for transportation. and the Hopi Ranger took it away. Now she's footless and she cannot able to get around. It's very, very hard, especially her husband is really old, and he used to ride horse and take care of the sheep, but now he has cane to walk with. Just go up to the hill and watch his herd, but sometimes that sheep never comes back, so they're having a hard time, and I don't know why. This is like something that I don't understand. I've never been abused this much in my life from my mother when I was small. She said, nobody ever give us this hardship in my family, but I don't think they have any heart. So it's so painful to think about these stuff. And she came here, she said, right in front of the courthouse. It was kind of really, really cold, but she's standing there and waiting for some good answers to hear. But I don't know, they're just throwing that case back to Phoenix. But Arizona, you cannot trust them. They all have dirty minds. They will not, they're probably just going to throw it out again. If it goes to Washington, D.C., they're probably going to do the same again. So I don't know where we're going to start again. So I just wish that they care enough and they have heart enough to do something for us, that so that we could remain and stay there where we are, where our lamb is, and just don't bother us and stay in peace. Just because of the money-wise, just because of the raw resources, people are really, really trying to wipe us out. But I believe there's no, we are no different from any other human being. We are human being. And then all those dirty, smelly deodorants from Black Mesa Mine, the coal are burning, and all those poison fume that we smell, a lot of people die from cancer and all kinds of disease, and this is really affecting us. But the government are really enjoying it. They just dig out the coal and they just look at those stuff. They don't care about the people and the safety and the life. This is what she's thinking. But thank you very much, children, for listening to me. I just wish you could all help me write to the Congress and argue for us so we can get some attention of some kind. Let's stand. Please stand with me, and I'll be a very happy woman. I'm real old now. I need your help. Thank you.
Okay, wow. Well, that was really good to get some of that information. I'm not clear about, so this land belongs to the Hopi people now? It's been given to the Hopi tribe? Mm-hmm. Can you explain to me about that, Ina?
Well, back in 1974, they had petitioned it to the Hopi tribe, and they never told us nothing about. I mean, nobody ever come into our house and knock on the door saying that this land is no longer yours. It will be petitioned to another tribe. This was never, ever mentioned. All of a sudden on the radio, but in February, and there was radio were saying some part of the Navajo reservation has petitioned it to the Hopi, and we were like puzzled. We don't know what place and what part of it. And all of a sudden, it was right around where we live, and we were being shocked and saying, oh my gosh, how come they never told us nothing about it? And we've been living here for centuries, and we have grave sites, and we have our ancestors counting back to 12th generation. And what are they doing to us? It's because of sand stalker, Barry Goldwater, and all, so most of the Hopi that they've been doing this for the last 40 years. They have put it into court, and finally the court passed it, and I guess it was really turned into law, and we never knew it. Nobody ever mentioned it, so it's crazy that this has all happened all of a sudden. This is why most of my elderly are saying this land is being stolen from us. We were never told, and we were have no authorization over this. That's why we will stand for our rights with our bare hand, no weapon involved, in a peace way, they said. That's very true, you know.
And you're living there yourself also, so you're participating in all this as it's happening, and you're being affected by all of it. Do you live where your mother lives?
Yeah, I live right close to my mom, and I have a family, I have a children, and my children all grew up, and they're not allowed to know repairment or nothing, so my kids are married now, I have grandchildren. So in a house, 28 by 32, small little house, there's about four different families living in the same house, and it's like, it's so terrible that we're packed it every day, and our house is never clean, and it's very unsanitary, and we can't allow it to extend or nothing. So I cry, and it gives me a headache, and sometimes I sleep in my van or whatever. So it's just so hard, and we can't turn to nobody, because who would, you know, say a better words? Nobody does. All they do is just working against us more and more and more and more. Where I consider that they were just thrown in a swamp and never swim out the mud. It's just how hard it is. Mm-hmm. Or a big stone standing on top of us and we can't come back out.
Well, I can certainly understand why you would feel powerless and feel how you do. It makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. It's like a few people who were, who've been there for thousands of years, basically, mm-hmm. the Diné people, as many people know as Navajo, but you call yourselves Diné. Mm-hmm. So I think that we need to wrap it up. I really, really appreciate the time and energy of you to share with the world, and I know that you need support, and I want to underline the fact of what Vina was just talking about, from what I know, from what I've known of this struggle, having just myself. I have never been to Big Mountain, but my son was there once, and I know many people who've been there, and I know that life is really hard, and you know that life is hard when you don't have water nearby, and it's just nasty. There's no other word for it, turning off water and limiting sheep. And it seems to me it must be illegal, but I know that that's a struggle in the courts, but it's a continuation of the genocide that's been going on for 500 years. And it's now, it's not something in the past. It's happening right now. We are now in the year 2000 is what we're talking about. And so a lot of people think, well, these things are all, you know, ancient history, but that is not true. Mm-hmm. I want to give you some contacts now. And also, as usual, the media, as you were mentioning, Vina, doesn't really have this in there. So people think, oh, this is all so quaint. And what they know about Indian people is like from the movies and historical. And even at that, it's usually not even true. It's usually lies. Mm-hmm. So people really could get involved and feel good about doing that. If you want to go to the land, yourself, to the land of Big Mountain, where people can use help with just ordinary things of life that are so hard, just taking care of the animals and the gardens and hauling water and bringing food down there and doing political work. There's all kinds of things to do. The phone number to call then is 520, that's the area code, 520-674-4479. That's 520-674-4479. If you would like to give donations of anything, and I think people really need anything in the way of expertise, money, food, clothes, whatever. As you heard, people are very poor. That's amazing. Four families in a house, 28 by 32, whatever it was, really small. You can send, you can make out checks to the Sovereign Diné Nation. Diné is spelled D-I-N-E-H. And you can send them to, this is a initials that stands for Social and Environmental Entrepreneurs, but it's just S-E-E. You can write S-E-E-C. The address is 20110 Rockport Way, Malibu, California, 90265. That's C20110 Rockport Way, Malibu, California, 90265. I also want to give you the phone number for Red Star Woman, who played and spoke and of her sadness and played a beautiful prayer in the beginning of the show here on the flute. And you can reach her in Los Angeles at 310-675-4418. That's 310-675-4418. Oh, and I didn't give you the email for the Dine folks, which is how they mostly communicate, and that's dinetah29@aol.com. dinetah29@aol.com. And my name's Sue Supriano. Thank you all very much for being here, and thanks for listening. Okay. What's your name?
My name is Marcia Monasterski, and I'm consultant for Sovereign Dine Nation.
And you, where are you from?
I've been living out on Black Mesa for the last 7 years, and I'm originally from New York.
So that's quite a big change, from New York to Black Mesa, but people do those things. So I guess you are very committed to this cause, and I would like you, the cause of the Dine people being relocated, kicked off their land, the traditional people off their land where they've been for thousands of years. I would really appreciate it if you would explain why people are here in San Francisco right now at the middle of February, the year 2000.
Over 40 Dine people have traveled to San Francisco to attend the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. There is a hearing on the Many Beads case. It's a lawsuit that they filed in 1987 for freedom of religion. Mm-hmm. Relocation denies Dine religion, which is land-based and site-specific, and they can't just go practice their religion somewhere else. It's not a physical building. It's every inch of the land. And their religion and their culture are one and the same. And they were not given a chance to speak in the courtroom, but they spoke very loudly by the fact that there were over 40 Dine that have traveled from the Four Corners region in Arizona to San Francisco to appeal, you know, and support their cause for religious freedom.
So this has been going on for 13 years, this case, 13, 14 years. Minnie Beads, is that the person?
Yes, Minnie Beads was a medicine man that originally filed this suit on behalf of his people and his wife, Jenny Minnie Beads, who was 115 and died recently, this suit is named for.
So where are things standing? There was a hearing yesterday?
There was a hearing yesterday in the whole history of the Many Beads suit. It's gone from San Francisco to Phoenix, Arizona, and back again, and it's never been heard. The people have never had an opportunity to testify in it, and it is our hope that the judges in the Ninth Circuit Court will say that finally, after all this time, this case deserves to be heard, and then the people have an opportunity to speak. Mm-hmm. Everyone has great ties to the land, and as Pauline Whitesinger says, there is no word in Dine for relocation. To relocate is to die and never be seen again.
Mm-hmm. You were just talking about and showing me this paper from the European churches?
We just got a letter of support from the full European Parliament. And that's composed of the European Union. And that's wonderful, wonderful news. And it's the beginning part, if I could read it, says, traditional Dine Aboriginal Americans living in the Black Mesa, Big Mountain area of Arizona are denied human and religious rights. As a result, a fearful dimension of violence looms in the conflict between the traditional Dine and the United States government. Oh, this is from the what's going to the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church of the United States of America. The lay Presbytery of the Synod of the Trinity agrees with the position of the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Religious Intolerance, Abla Fatah Amour, and over 250 non-governmental organizations at the United Nations that the human and religious rights of the traditional Diné people are being violated. Therefore, the lay Presbytery overtures the 212th General Assembly 2000 to do the following, and is to request a Congressional Oversight Committee be formed and to guarantee the elimination of discrimination and violence against them. There is also the European Parliament. We had a delegation go to Geneva last April to attend the Commission on Human Rights, and met with members of the German Parliament and have been in communication with members of the European Parliament. And just last week, the full European Parliament passed a resolution to support Diné, in addition to the Berkeley City Council here.
Well, that's good news, and I'd heard before that there was more support in Europe than in the United States. Of course, it's the United States government, and it's our media here that really doesn't want people to know what's going on. So I guess in a certain way that's not that surprising. What brought you to be involved in this? From New York City?
Yes, New York City. I came out here first with my sister 25 years ago, and worked with the traditional Hopi elders in Hoda Villa, and returned working with them, and met the Diné people resisting relocation by the government and Peabody Coal Company. So that was a while ago now.
And it really grabbed you as a very important thing to do, I guess.
I came out here to do this work.
Is there anything? I've gotten a little idea about the relationship with the Hopi government and in the relocation, but it's not very clear. Could you clarify that?
Well, in order to do that, you have to go back to the culprit for it all, which is Peabody Coal Company. The relocation and the land grab, which was done by the United States government, stealing Diné lands and giving it to the Hopi tribe. There never would have been anything like this in a joint use area where people lived in peace and harmony. And if there wasn't an estimated 40 billion tons of high-grade low-sulfur coal, and it's this coal that and the energy that fuels Las Vegas and Los Angeles and much of the Southwest, that is responsible for the suffering and the violation of the human and environmental rights of the Diné people. Peabody Coal Company is the largest privately owned coal company in the world, and this is the largest strip mine in North America.
So the government took it from the Diné people and gave it to the Hopi people, because the Hopi people are the Hopi tribal government.
That was the money that was given recently, a $50.2 million settlement, was for the United States to pay off all outstanding settlement of all outstanding lawsuits that the Hopi tribe had against the United States government for things like not evicting the people quickly enough from their land, allowing the land to be overgrazed because there wasn't more seizures of people's animals by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. You know, what's happening now is the Bureau of Indian Affairs is sending out grazing permit fees, a bill to these elders to charge them for grazing their animals on this land. The BIA has mismanaged billions of dollars of Indian trust money for many nations, and perhaps they need even more money, so they charge grazing fees for their people now to have their animals on their land and confiscate when they want. And
how can they do that? I mean, I'm sure this sounds like we could probably talk about it for a long time, which we don't have. But for a person who doesn't know anything about it, I mean, I know that for instance, you make out checks to the Diné sovereign nation, and does this all go back to treaties? I mean, a sovereign nation, how can the U.S. government be doing these things? I guess that's the big question.
The people can't. There is no such thing as sovereignty when the United States government, Department of Interior, owns the title for Indian lands, and they do own the title for Indian lands. The United States government has what's called fiduciary trust responsibility towards Native people. But they have violated their trust responsibility, and what they need to do is to give back the title, and that's real sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Real sovereignty is grandmothers that resist against all odds and persecution by the United States government in to demonstrate how connected they are to the land. You know, in terms of the international arena, the ILO convention wasn't signed by the United States government, 169, because it gives indigenous people land title. And it's important that the United States government signed it and President Clinton be pushed to sign it. You know, international law is the greatest thing we have for sovereignty, because there is no justice in a federal court within the United States borders.
Mm-hmm. So what do you want people to do? Is there, how can they be supported besides send money and literally go to the land? Are there other political ways in which to be supportive?
A campaign to President Clinton, you know, to sign the ILO convention and to...
The ILO, what's that?
That's the International Labor Organization.
That's what I thought, but I didn't see how that, what that had to do with it.
Yes, and at Convention 169, and that has many provisions in that that protect indigenous people in America and worldwide, and the United States has not signed it because of that. Most of the mineral resources in this country are on Indian lands. The international community can support by demanding the application, you know, of international law within the United States. These are binding. You know, there's this thing called human rights, and the Dene people haven't been told for a very long time that they had it. You know, we've had an investigation on religious intolerance by the United Nations Commission on Human Rights, and it's time, you know, for the finger that the United States points around the world accusing other countries of being human rights violators be pointed back within the borders of the United States. And human rights belongs to everyone.
So true. Okay, well, thanks very much, Marcia.
Thank you.
It would be good if you'd...
I'm also an NGO.
Pardon me?
I'm an NGO at the United Nations.
You yourself?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what? It's, say your name and spell it if you spell your last name.
Marcia Monasterski, Monesterski.
Oh, just like it sounds.
Yeah, exactly. I can give you some phone numbers if you wanted.
Okay.
For getting picture files. Also, you should check out.
Okay, you have websites to check out.
Mm-hmm.
What are they?
HTTP, the two dots, two forward slash, www.solcommunications, with an S on the end of communications.com, and that's Soul of Love, S-O-L. And the other website is HTTP, the two dots, the two forward slash, www.theofficenet, one word, .com, forward slash, squiggly line, Reed Dorman, R-E-D-O-R-M-A-N, forward slash, welcome, W-E-L-C-O-M-E dot H-T-M-L. Also, our email number for Sovereign Dene Nation Office on Black Mesa is Deneta29@AOL.com. That's D as in David, I-N-E-T-A-H, 29@AOL.com. And we could really use your support, and please communicate with us.
So these websites are specifically about the struggle with the Dene people in Big Mountain.
Yes, the Soul Communication site also has information on the UWA, and there's a lot of information. There's also a lot of photographs, abused animals in the Bureau of Indian Affairs Impoundment Yard, the United Nations visit on Black Mesa, and you know, you can find out a lot of information. There's a Big Mountain list that you can join to keep updated on information, and to find out about that, you can contact Bob Dorman. His email number is redorman at theofficenet.com. And please keep in touch.
Okay, thanks very much, Marcia. My name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.